The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Raider. This is episode 539. I'm your host, Andrew, and this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info, and check out our past shows. While you're there, subscribe and tell a friend about the show. This episode, I speak with I Am Brandon. Brandon Stennis, he is the influencer relations manager for Reverb Games. We had a wonderful conversation. We talked about branding, how to take care of your profile online, social etiquette, all that fun stuff. And we also talked about his journey. So this is episode 539. If you're considering getting a podcast soon, you can use the promo code TSR. That's all caps. TSR with Libsyn.com. They are really, really good. That's who I use. I've been using them since episode 115, somewhere around there. So we're at 539 with this episode. So definitely check them out. I Am Brandon. Wonderful conversation. And I really enjoyed this one. I enjoyed the last one too. But definitely check them out and enjoy. Brandon.
Yeah.
What is
hey.
Up?
Hey. What's up? How's it going?
How you doing, man?
Good. It's Friday. I am ready for the weekend. You know, the work week is done, and I'm kind of, yeah, I'm ready to do this podcast and chat with you about life and gaming and streaming and everything.
Under the sun. I got a list here.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'm good with that. I'm ready.
I got a list full of things that I want to ask, man. But, okay, but a couple of what I like to do as we begin like conversations, especially, you know, these type of conversations is, first thing, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah.
To be here. You've could have chosen not to be here. Right.
Well, and I appreciate you reaching out. Yeah. You're the first person who actually reached out after stuff was kind of happening. So it's kind of, I appreciate you thinking of me at all. So
no, it's definite. You've done a lot in the industry in a short amount of time. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of grinding involved in creating meetups and sitting on panels, prepping certain conversations to say certain things, right? All those things take preparation. I don't think that people realize until they actually start doing it, right?
Whether it's
you know, setting up sponsorships and bringing people together, egos and those things, right? So I'm pretty prepped for you today.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm here to talk about all the things. I'm ready. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. So so take me back.
We're going way back, aren't we?
Yeah, we're gonna go a little back. Okay. Right. And then we're gonna catch up on, just, you know, give you an idea. We'll definitely catch up on small streamer stuff.
Okay. Definitely catch up. So I got some stuff I can definitely say on that one.
Right. Sure. So we'll definitely catch up on that. But pre-college, I don't hear too much of you talk about your past. Is that intentional?
No one asked. So I'm definitely open to talk about that. Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, you know, I love talking about the past. If you want to go into it, I'm totally
So what were you like pre-college?
So like high school?
Yeah. So give me a high school to college to, you know, pre UGR. And then we'll roll into, you know, some of the companies that you worked with, if you're allowed to talk about that. And then we'll kind of fast forward a little bit to currently, congratulations, Reverb, right?
Yeah. Reverb Games. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about, you know, what streamers should do or not do.
Yes.
Right.
So branding. That and all too those as well. Things. Yes.
Right. So that's the layout to give you a little framework. So yeah, so take me back a little bit.
Oh, wow. So, high school was such an interesting time for me. I was in a place where I knew a lot of people. But I was not like the popular person in high school, but I just was like, I was a nerd. I was in band, but I was like, I hung out with like everybody. I just knew everybody like in all the grades, especially my senior year. I knew everybody. But a major reason why I knew a lot of people was because, MySpace was popular back in the day. And so if anybody who's out there who ever maybe went to high school with me, or knew me back in the day, I had a, MySpace profile. It's called Beaston, which is like, the first initial of my name and then like, some of my initials for my, last name. So that was my little persona. I went by Beaston. And so I used MySpace as kind of a way to, kind of express myself. And that's why I learned a little bit more about social media. And like, I learned a lot about HTML because I used to be the person who would like go on MySpace and learn how to like design it into the kind of way that you want it. And so I was always like trying to learn about the new tips and how to make your music look right and stuff. And I was just, I loved MySpace and I just kind of like started to, you know, add people and all that stuff, how I used to work friend request people you went to school with and all that kind of things. But I just had that online persona of like, I tried to be cool, what I thought was cool back in the day. But it just like kind of started my real, love for social media and how it connects you with people. And I never knew it then. And I remember my mom would always tell me like, Brandon, get off MySpace, get off social media. You should be on social media. And, lo and behold, obviously that's how I got like where I am now, social media. But yeah, in high school, I was in band. I was a nerd. I was into nerdy things, but I really wasn't trying to talk about it that much.
Talk to me about that.
Oh, in band? Oh yeah. I initially got into band because I did not want to be in gym. And I took gym first semester, as a freshman. And I hated it. I felt like I was not good at sports. And I was like, this is just not for me. And the only way to get out of, doing gym was to be in band. And so I was in band in grammar school. So I was like, okay, let's do that. Let's go in that direction of, in band. And so I played in the band and I was into the jazz band. I did the marching band all throughout, high school.
What'd you play?
And then, I went from alto sax to tenor sax. So I was playing those two. I don't know how to play it now. So if someone put a sheet of music, I don't even know how to read music anymore, which is kind of sad. But, yeah, the saxophone was like the instrument that I played. And, I had a lot of fun with it and it kind of got me to like, learn about different groups of people and how to interact when it's not like the core group you're used to. Cause like I would be in the band with people of band. But then I had to obviously be on the bus with like football players and the cheerleaders. So I had to be friends with them. So, I guess that was like a little way of kind of networking, but I didn't know what that was back in the day. But yeah, I was just like, I don't know. I was just always open to meeting new people all the time. I've always been like that my entire life. And high school was, I never had too bad of experience, I would say, but I definitely was not. I was not shy, but I was definitely like breaking out of my shell towards the end of high school.
Okay. Sure. So you mentioned the word awkward a couple of times in some of your interviews.
Yes.
Okay. So walk me through that. What is that about? I'm paying attention. Walk me through that.
Okay. So I at this point, like when I would say I'm awkward, I am awkward, but it's like I've kind of embraced it and it's kind of part of my brand now. But a lot of it is because when I was growing up, like a lot of my friends, like didn't get my sense of humor or how I would act. And I was always meant to feel like I was like other and different. And like, so it kind of made me like on the side to outcast a little bit. So when I would try to be like a silly self that I am, I always felt like it was awkward because people would make me feel like it was not like, oh, why are you doing that? That's weird. Don't act like that, you know? So when I started the whole streaming thing and I was starting to like let my personality out and I was starting to learn about how to conduct yourself in an interview, I didn't know how to really do it. So I would just like kind of use awkward as a crutch, really sadly, to express why I felt so uncomfortable sometimes. But, obviously over the years, as I've kind of grown up and all that, I've, learned to embrace the awkwardness of myself. And use that as a way to connect with people in a sort of weird way.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. So then, college, did you do stuff related to marketing stuff or you had a different, subject matter? Yeah. What did you do?
In college, I originally went to college because I wanted to be a teacher. So, it kind of explains a little bit of my personality of trying to help other people, like kind of having this like teaching sort of, personality a little bit. I wanted to be an English teacher. So I went to school for that for a while. And then I took, the teaching certification test. And that's when everything kind of changed because, it was like a 3-hour long test. And I remember I took it and then I got my results back and I failed the test by like 2 points of almost passing. And I'm a person who hates standardized tests. And I told myself, you know what? I can't do this again. There's no way I'm going to go back and redo this. I just would rather just change my major to something else, which is pretty kind of crazy when you think about it. But I was already like studying English literature and all that kind of stuff. So I decided to just switch it to journalism instead of like trying to do teaching. And a lot of my courses that I already took were already in that vein of my degree. So I was good on that aspect. But my senior year of college, I took a minor in communications. And so that's when I learned a lot about, marketing and, you know, writing commercials and working with like, kind of as a brand. And I never did that at all in college at all until that last semester. So it kind of helped me later on in life, but I didn't really realize it at the time, until after I got to college and started to realize, okay, some of this stuff that I did take courses on actually do apply to now. So yeah.
Did it help you focus more? What do you think it did for you with those, having those things under your belt?
Minor?
Yeah.
I don't think I really actually noticed it till recently, actually, because, I was moving out of my apartment and I, found some old assignments from like when I was in college and I was looking through them and I was like, wow, I really wrote like these commercials for assignments out, like scripts and television plots and all this kind of stuff. And saw my old communications, assignments about things that I do now. And I was like, I was doing this stuff back in the day. And this kind of explains how I kind of know it now. And I've gotten better over time with it. But it definitely was something that's been, pretty helpful. But I didn't know it at the time because, you know, I was a young kid just going to college because my mom told me to. And, yeah, I mean, I got out of college and I unfortunately didn't get a job in doing anything that I wanted to do, but it kind of helped me in a way to get me here.
Yeah. Okay. So during those college years, what would you say the toughest thing that you had to experience there and how did you overcome those things?
Oh, wow. I think college was a big time for me to find myself. Cause when I got to college, it was the first time I had ever, been out of my mom's house, out of my family's house. So I was on my own. So I was responsible for, you know, going to class, you know, making sure that stuff was paid for, working and all that kind of stuff. So it was the first time I had to be responsible for myself. But it was definitely the time that I grew up and then learned a little bit more about myself that I didn't know. I got to experience new people that I never would have ever if I didn't go to college. And it just kind of set me on a path of like, I thought I was a one way and then I kind of shifted to another way when I got out, if that makes sense.
Okay. So yeah. I like how you handled that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'll ask it this way. Was it difficult to find yourself in college and what was the severity level of that for you?
Ooh, oh, let me see. It wasn't difficult to find myself in college. Because I didn't know what I was doing in college at all. It was hiding it from people and then, trying to maneuver how to, I had a weird double life for a little bit.
What does that mean? Watching the time. I got a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Just like in college, that's when I kind of, figured out my sexuality and how I was trying to approach it. When I went to college, I really wasn't in, like, I didn't have a set, situation. Like, I wasn't like, am I gay? Am I straight? I was like, didn't know either. I was just kind of existing. And then I experienced new things in college that I never did before and kind of figured what was going on here. And then I started to kind of live a double life where it was like, I was hanging out with people who I was friends with over here who knew me. But then I was hanging out with this other group of people who had this other side of me that I never explored before. And I just didn't know how, I just had them separate because I was still trying to figure out myself at that point.
Okay. And why did you have them separate?
Cause I was still trying to figure out myself. And then I also didn't know how people who didn't know what was going on with me, how they would react. Because it was like really the first time I was actually looking at myself and being like, okay, like, are you gay? Like, okay, you are, but I don't want people to know. But that whole situation kind of collided out of nowhere, not by my choosing. It was because of the fact that, one day, my group of friends over here and my group of friends over here, one from each group kind of like met, because they're in the same, I think they were in a sorority or something that was like it was like a fraternity and sorority that was like a co-ed fraternity. I don't know what it's called, but it was like both together. I don't know how that's happened, but that's what it was. And they started talking about people that they knew and my name came up and, they're like, oh, how do you know Brandon? And it's like, oh yeah, Brandon lives on our floor and like we, you know, he's our floor mate, this and that, blah, blah. Oh, how do you know Brandon? Oh yeah, Brandon hangs out with all the gay people at the gay parties and stuff. Oh, Brandon's gay? That's how it started.
Mm.
And, that's how people on my floor started to find out. And then a little bit after, there was a situation where people started telling people about me without me saying anything. And out of my whole, like I was not the person to be able to talk about myself, which is, I always tell people that's something you never do to somebody, especially someone who's like in the closet or trying to figure out themselves or whatever they're doing. That's one horrible thing that you could do to somebody, telling their truth before they have a chance to do so. So when I found out, I
knew.
What does
that do to a person? Can you walk me through that a little bit?
Oh yeah, it was horrible. It was the fact that people were coming to me and asking me, is this true? And then me being like, do I lie about it or do I talk about it? Like, I don't know. Should I, you know, divert it? I did try to like lie about it a few times, but it was like, why am I lying about it? I should just be honest. And then I remember one day I like, this is during MySpace time still. I wrote this whole like bulletin explaining everything that was going on and I sent it and I was so scared because like this was like to all my friends at this point. Just kind of put it out there so I could like be real about myself. And I sent it out and I was so scared because I didn't know how people are going to react. And I remember my best friend, Ronnie Smith, who I'm still friends with now. So I'll probably tell him I said this, but I remember I said this to everybody and I texted him and I was like, did you see what I wrote? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, how do you feel about it? And he was like, oh dude, you're good. We're still friends. Like that's fine. And that was the one person who I actually really cared if he knew or not. And he was fine. He was totally fine with it. And that after that, I didn't care. Of course I had people who were very ignorant and like treated me different and stopped talking to me because of this whole like new information they had. But then that's when I first learned about people who you shouldn't have in your life if they do, treat you like that. If someone learns about that part of your life, about your sexuality and it completely changes their whole mindset about you, they're definitely not worth someone to be in your life. And I learned that the hard way. But you know what? It's for me. I'd never look back at anybody who's ever turned their back on me at this point. So good riddance, I say. Yeah.
Okay. So as I was preparing, mm-hmm. definitely Chad, thank you for being here. I appreciate you. If we have time, we'll do some questions at the end, for sure for Brandon. So as I was preparing, I noticed something very interesting in the videos, mm-hmm. especially in the interviews that, yeah. You are pretty outspoken, right? When did that happen? Was that pre or post college? When did that happen?
Oh, definitely post college. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I can explain to you exactly why. Okay. So, I mean, I haven't always been very vocal about everything. I just know, I feel like this question goes into stuff that we probably should talk about first before I get to that.
Okay, well, should I just go? You can navigate a little bit, and then we'll both navigate. We'll work it out. Okay. In the interest of time.
Okay, I'll just say for example, like the reason why I have been very vocal about a lot of stuff is I remember I told myself, like especially when I started to notice that there was like I was getting a little bit of a following on Twitter, and people actually responding to things I was saying. I was like, you know what? The chance that I get, I want to you know, be vocal about the stuff that I'm seeing that is not happening. Especially like when I started streaming on Twitch and noticing like, you know, all the top people on Twitch at the time, and it's kind of shifted, but it's still the same. It was all like the bearded white dude. The same people, like, let's promote this person. It's always the same people. I never saw people like me. I, for probably a good year and a half, I had not seen another black person on Twitch for a very long time. And so I told myself if I got the chance to be vocal about things that I thought were important, that I was going to be very vocal about it. And I have been pretty vocal about a lot of the things. And yes, sometimes it has gotten me in trouble. And sometimes it's actually started conversations about stuff, which is really important. It's something that I'm very aware of. And that's why I've always been very open about that, especially when I started new jobs and being like, you know, I am very interested in this position, but I just want to be real with you. Like, this is also like, I'm a very vocal person on Twitter or just in general, but I keep it to a point where it's like professional. It's not like I'm wilding out and just saying crazy stuff. But you know, I do want conversations and change to happen. And sometimes you have to be the vocal one for that to happen. So. Okay. Sorry, but not sorry.
So, I saw UGR and then I saw, Arsenal GG. Was there a gap, of companies in between that? And what were the lessons learned, as you were, being connected with those companies?
Yeah. So UGR Gaming is, it was my little baby. I started it after I was in college, and it was the, kind of the springboard for me to kind of learn about how to become a more professional person and learning about the gaming industry itself. At the time when I started it, I was unemployed, and luckily I was in a situation where like I was able to focus on things that I really truly believed in. And at the time I was playing a lot of video games. I was playing a lot of Call of Duty online. So that was like my first experience with like playing online with people and stuff like that. And so I still wanted to be a journalist, and I tried to apply for a bunch of jobs, and I got denied. And a lot of them would tell me, you know, we can't hire you because you have no portfolio anywhere. We have no references to look at. And I didn't take any, I didn't do any internships in college at all. So that was something that I neglected to do that I learned later was not, I probably should have done that. But from that, I was thinking about, okay, what are ways I can try to showcase myself in some way? Like, I don't know what to do. But I was kind of interested in blogging back in the day, and I was playing video games all the time. So I figured, you know what, let me start a website. Let me do some reviews. 'Cause at the time I was playing this game called Nier. And people now know about the sequel, Nier Automata, at this point. But at the time, the first game wasn't really getting a lot of coverage. It was like super popular like it should have been. But I was absolutely loving the game. I felt like it was so unique that a lot of people were not giving it enough notice, which it should have. And so I decided, okay, let me write this review for it and make a YouTube video on it. And let's see where this goes. And so I like made a Twitter account, I made a Facebook account and all this kind of stuff. And I started to kind of, write great gaming news and reviews on different stuff that I was doing. And I started to see that people were like actually reading these posts that I was writing about. And I was confused because I was like, why are people reading this? This is strange. I wasn't used to it. But then people were asking me like, hey, do you have writers on your website? Like, would you want writers? And I was like, whoa. Well, I never expected anybody to like want to work, on the website with me, but I was like, sure. Like, if you want to be a part of this, let's see what we could do. And we eventually got like a good, it was like four or five of us, like who were writing consistently for this website for a while. We started a podcast, based on it. It was called Gamer Chat Weekly, and then iHeartRadio picked it up, and it was on there for a little bit. We were just like trying our best to get our brand out there, just doing all sorts of things to just like showcase it. And then when I started to see like different people who are on the staff with me, like trying to get their names out there too, that's what I always wanted that website to be. I always wanted it to be something that like everybody was going to eventually graduate to do things that they always wanted to do. It was like their stepping stone to get into the gaming industry because we had none at that point. You know, there's not someone who's holding out their hand and being like, hey, do you want to work in the gaming industry? Come on this way. No, we had to like make our way to do it. And luckily we were able to connect with gamers because we were those gamers who were playing at home. Like, yeah, at the time there was like IGN and there was, you know, all these big websites, but you know, they're established. We weren't at all. So we were connecting with a lot of these gamers who, were just like us, and they connected and shared our stuff. And, you know, we were lucky to be able to go out to PAX and go to different conventions under the UGR gaming name, which I never would have thought that. I went to my very first PAX East, and I remember we went into the media room, and I'm what sitting year? There. Oh, God. 2015, I think.
Okay. Because if you said 2012, I'd be like, how come we didn't run into each other?
I was definitely not. We started in 2012, so that's, we definitely were not there then.
Okay.
But I think it was 2015, and I remember we're in the media room, and I was sitting there, and I looked over to my left, and there's like these IGN people who I knew, and I'm like, oh my God, like we're literally in the same room with people from IGN. Like, I was starstruck because I'm like, how are we in here? Like, we're sitting in our pajamas, like writing these things, and these people who like work in this like crazy, awesome, like, company, they're sitting right there. But it was a really cool thing that I always hoped that it would springboard, everybody to do what they wanted to do with it. I think the people who are on the staff, who actually like went for it, they are doing things that they want to. And of course, you know, of course people who didn't, you know, they're doing their own thing, which is fine. But I always wanted to make that a springboard for everybody, not just me. And, it was a great time in my life. I will say that. It was sad when I kind of decided that it needed to shut down, but it did its purpose. That's what I felt.
And from there, what happened?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. There's a lot. There's like a lot of work. There's a lot of stuff to happen. But I was still doing UGR gaming at the time, but, I was also working in retail. And this was also around the time I was, streaming on Twitch, like starting off and all that kind of stuff. And, so I was working at Walgreens. I was like a stock person, but like I was trying to keep it under wraps because I didn't want people to know, because this is like trying to keep that separate. But I received an email, out of nowhere, from someone from Golan Harris, which is a, marketing agency that's, based in Chicago, but they have offices like all over the world. And so they're reaching out to me and they're like, hey, we found your website. We're interested to see if you would like to try, interview for a new, position that we're trying to set up that regards social media. So this was like around the time where brands were actually starting to try to get into social media because like people were able to be vocal about what they thought. So brands are taking, social media more seriously. So I ended up getting the job at Golan Harris, and, I was working there under McDonald's. I was doing McDonald's social media. And there was a campaign, you can look this up too. There's a campaign that was, Our Food, Your Questions. Mm. And so basically what it was that, anybody on Twitter, Facebook could ask McDonald's anything about, their food, what was in their food, what kind, like anything. And so I was like on I think I was on chicken and something else. People would ask a question to McDonald's, and then we had this whole database of like answers to explain people's questions and all that kind of stuff. So I was like a team of 10 people.
Different products for McDonald's.
Yeah. I had a lot of McDonald's during that time period. And that really taught me so much about the more professional world. Cause I had never worked in an office before. And so it was like really different for me, but I felt like I was like a super grown up. I was like, I'm going downtown. I'm working in the John Hancock building, and I'm like going there and hanging out with all these people. Like, it was an eye opener for me. I was like, I think I was 22, 23 at the time. So this was a big step for someone who's like working on a website that was not making any money at all. And that was the springboard to get me to, working for Golan.
I think it's a good question right here, so we can address it in terms of,
go for it.
In the interest of time. Mm-hmm. When you work with a company like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they also do stuff for Nintendo, maybe. I don't know if they still do.
They do, yeah. They do stuff for Nintendo. Yeah.
And you're inside now looking out, right? Mm-hmm. How bad are the independent content creators? How are they doing in terms of how they're presenting themselves? Because I saw you had a conversation. Currently
or
we can touch currently because it's fitting, right? In terms of how they present themselves, how they carry themselves online. I think it's a good bridge we can work with there.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting. I will say, like, especially
now, don't hold
in
back
the,
now.
I'm definitely not. I think it's a very interesting spot. I think people have got a little bit more like self-aware about how fast news travels or how quickly things start. Last year was a hot mess on streamer Twitter. It was always constantly something going off every week in the same rotation of the same thing happening. I think people have gotten a little bit more self-aware now, but I mean, could it be better? Yes. But yeah, I think the,
you know, I'm going to call you out right now. That's a real PR. That's a real PR, lead-in that you just gave right there.
Okay. Well, let's be more, how specific do you want me to get? I can be really specific.
Okay. So, Monday morning, I wake up, right? Mm-hmm. And I start trolling on the internet because people start talking about controllers versus keyboard and mouse, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to build my brand. This is just an example, right? So I'm trying to build my brand, but yet I feel the need to jump into these conversations because I'm tired of them happening. But I don't realize how even being involved in those conversations, how it's affecting my brand negatively because you social media of McDonald's or you social media of Golan Harris, you're looking at, right? Those conversations, you're like, I don't know if I'll ever really want to engage because this is like a dynamite ready to pop off. So what do you see?
So
these days,
when I worked at McDonald's, this is totally different because I wasn't working with any like influencers or content creators at all. But I can't say, I mean, the industry, and I always talk about this, we talk to each other, the industry is so very small. A lot of people know a lot of people. And you know, there have been times where, you know, someone's going off on Twitter about something super controversial. And it's just like, okay. You should be saying that. And a lot of stuff, it will take you out of, just like working with brands that you may not even know you. Because people just assume like, well, I don't follow them or I don't directly follow them or whatever. It's okay for me to kind of act wild out here, but like news travels fast, especially the way that Twitter works and people's tweets ending up on people's timelines anyway. And especially if it gets really big, it's very easy to find when those people are being problematic. Like for example, I had to deal with someone who I was, trying to work a deal with, for a promotion, a little bit ago. And this person started going off about like female streamers on their Twitter. And I was like, you know what? I can't have that on the company I work for's name. This is not my current company, but you know, just past companies. And I was like, I can't have that. Like, I'm sorry, but you know, that's, I can't have you talking about like, you know, female streamers and how they should dress and all this kind of stuff. And then think that I'm supposed to ignore that. And people sometimes like ruin opportunities before they even start by just like having really horrible takes on the internet, to be honest. Like, I know like Twitter is like a free open platform and people are able to say what they want, but sometimes not everything needs to be said out loud on Twitter. Like that's the tea, to be honest.
Yeah. Talk about the effects of burnout.
Ooh. Wow. I've been through burnout so much. Like now I'm in a good place. But burnout is a thing where it's just like, for me personally, I dealt with it a lot when I was trying to kind of grind myself to make a name for myself out there on Twitch and all this kind of stuff. So I, like, for maybe, what was it, like 2 or 3 years, like, I was constantly streaming all the time. And I was always in the house. I was always streaming. I was always doing this. I was always doing that. And so I was, like, kind of losing sense of reality. So I was, like, at that time period, I was, like, I kind of neglected my friends, my real life friends, and because I was trying to make a name for myself in streaming, so I wasn't really doing stuff with them anymore. And there was to a point where I just was like, I came to sit at my desk to stream, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Which made me really sad because streaming has done so much for me. And the most recent time this happened was probably 2 years ago. I was like really, really depressed, and I had been telling people, and I keep telling people this, like, I will retire from streaming, obviously, and streaming is not my first love, even though it's a part of my life, but like, I love working in the industry, but streaming is a backseat. It's the backseat. I enjoy it, but it's not like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a full-time streamer. I've done that. Not a thing I want to do. But I started to see myself being very depressed and very not wanting to stream, not wanting to be on camera. And I always knew if I'm not happy, I don't want to get on stream and then try to fake being happy for other people, because I have always been a genuine streamer. And if I don't feel good, I'm not going to be streaming. It's not going to happen. And so when the burnout started to happen, I wasn't streaming as much, and, you know, I was apologizing to my community because, you know, obviously they're investing money into the channel and I'm not even streaming for them to see. So I was constantly apologizing, but I was like, I had to be selfish and kind of think about myself and realize, you know what, Brandon, like, you need to like get out of your house and do stuff and go talk to people and go hang out with your friends again. And so I spent like a good amount of my summer a few years ago just not streaming and going out and like meeting new people. And it did wonders for me, which is when people say, like, if you're a streamer, get outside. Like, it really did wonders for me. And my complete like personality and way of life changed from that, because I didn't have people who were on the outside who had my back. And then I had people who were on the inside who had my back. And I just was like, I tried to combine the two, which I think this last year, before all this corona stuff happened, I think I was doing a pretty good job of it. But it's burnout is so different for so many different people, because some people just burn out and they just don't want to have anything to do with streaming anymore. But I just needed to regain regain reality again, because I lost it. Because I was so in this digital world trying to stream and grind and like trying to, let me try to network and let me try to get this opportunity and all this kind of stuff. I was constantly doing that. And so now I'm just at this point where it's like, I can still do both and I can still be happy. So that's what my main focus is, just being happy, and it's trying to continue, trying to get myself out there, you know.
No, that's awesome.
Definitely took a hit with that. Yeah.
No, that's great. I know you did some meetups and stuff, mm-hmm. right? I saw
your
journey there. So talk about the insights of bringing people together.
Yeah. Woo. It's the meetups have been such a beautiful thing in my life, because I started it originally because I didn't have friends who were local who streamed on Twitch. And I got inspiration from, Swifter, who I've always thanked him, in general, cause like he was the person who actually was like, you know what, you should try to make one in Chicago if you really want this to happen. And he was like the inspiration to help me out. And he was like, tell me what I should do and all this kind of stuff. And so I kind of followed that lead to try to make the Twitch Chicago meetups happen. And I was very shocked by the very first one. Like, we had like 30 people there, which I was shocked that many people even showed up, because it was the very first one, especially at like some random person on Twitter is like, hey, I'm having a Twitch meetup. Do you want to meet up? You know, but I did try to make it really official by having like a Twitch Chicago Twitter and, you know, like a website and all this stuff so people could see it. But the way the community has grown has been insane. The last one we had was in last December, and like I did announce that the next one was going to be my last one, just because it's at the point where like I don't know people in the community at this point, because I've been always the organizer. So I like, you know, I'm organizing the whole time during the event, so I don't get to actually talk to people. I'm just like, you know, making sure everything is working. But I think I've gotten to the point where the event has kind of outgrown my expectations. Like it's gotten really huge and I don't think I can really handle it anymore. And plus we've gotten a great group of people who have kind of stepped up in the community, who are more than like, perfect to step in the shoes and take this community and continue to grow it. And it was a very proud moment at the last meetup. Like, we're at the Metro Chicago, which, if you're not from here, it's a very, like, historical, venue. Like, a lot of rock bands have performed there. A lot of music acts have performed there. This was their very first, like, non-music event and, like, gaming event in general there. And like, you know, I sat on that stage where so many people performed and, like, gave this, like, speech about, you know, what we've done so far with the community. And it was like a really surreal moment just to see like a room full, like, I think it was like 500 people, just like all over. The whole place was packed and people like chanting my name and stuff was crazy. But the community of Twitch Chicago has definitely, shown that there is a gaming presence here and that, you know, I think the gaming community itself should take Chicago more seriously and look and see how, we can, showcase them. You know, that was my biggest hope for Twitch Chicago meetups was that, like Chicago's, the Chicago gaming scene not be so quiet. You know, that's what it was like before. Like, I didn't know gamers in Chicago. Like, people didn't talk about it, but like, as we have been doing these events, I've seen like little gaming events, but they don't talk about it. And I'm like, why are you guys being so secretive? Like, we're gamers, let's hang out, you know? So yeah, it's been pretty cool to see these events kind of grow into their own little gaming scene themselves. So yeah.
Okay. All right. So talk about measuring success, metrics, and streaming.
Ooh, measuring success. Okay, measuring success. What was the other one?
Metrics,
okay.
And streaming. So how does that you know, because if some individuals will look at their streams, I only have 3 viewers watching me, and you know, that kind of vibe. And it's like, you guys should be supporting me more and we can really jump into the, you know, the small streamer syndrome. We can jump into that as we're on the tail end because I know you got to go soon. So walk me through that.
It's to talk about this. I feel like when I started streaming, obviously Twitch is a whole different platform than it is now. And so I think a lot of the people who come into it now, they see a lot of the success that many others have had. Like, you know, we've seen Ninja like blow up and all this kind of stuff. So people are now looking for instant success. And so you get a lot of people now who, you know, start streaming and they're like, okay, so how do I start making the money? And it's like, what money? What's going on? You know, streamers back in the day used to try to preach about like, you know, don't do streaming for the money, but it's kind of hard now because it's like, especially with like, you know, affiliate now, you make money from doing that. So you can't really tell people not to do it for the money, to an extent. But yeah, it's just like, what's a good example? I had, someone who was talking to me, I guess he started, 7 months ago and he was worried that he wasn't doing good because he was like only averaging like 20 viewers. And I was like, whoa, man, like 20 viewers and you've only been doing it for 7 months. That's pretty good. You know, like I couldn't believe that, especially 20 people. Like I try to tell people you have to think of it this way. Like the numbers are literally people who are like in there. So imagine 20 people at your house hanging out with you. That's literally that. And I know it's hard to see that sometimes because people get like really invested in like, oh, I don't have double digits and all that kind of stuff. Like I'm not like hitting like triple digits now and I'm a partner, but, I measure my success on my chat activity. You know, I never look at any of my viewer count. I never really worry about how many people are. No.
Mm-mm. Wow.
No.
That's impressive.
I never look at my viewer count. It was crazy because like when I used to use XSplit, like they always had it there, like at the top for a long time. And then when I actually started working for XSplit, I begged them to take that out because I was like, I'm one of those streamers who don't want to see it. And you guys making it show up there, can you take it out? And they eventually did, thank God. But I would always cover it when I had to see it. But I've always felt that if you don't look at your viewer count, it is such a good way for you to interact and act like there's, you know, 100 people in your chat. You can just act normal without having to be like, oh God, there's only like 2 people in here. Oh God, there's only like 4 people in here. So I never look at it. And I just treat my chat as if it's like, you know, 1,000 people in there. And so I measure my like success as a streamer with how much people are interacting and talking back to me. So that's why I always try to, ask my chat questions. I talk to them about like, okay, so what do you guys think about this game? Like, what do you think? Should we keep playing this? So just come up with different questions. I know a lot of streamers do it, but I think it's really important, especially when you're playing a game, is to ask the people who are watching you what they think about it. Because if they all hate it, I mean, to be honest, you might want to switch it, because someone said this the other day, but I think it is really good truth, is that like, unfortunately, if you're a streamer, you can't play the games you exactly want. You have to play with what your audience wants to see. And so I have tried to kind of do a little bit of both. Like I choose games that I want to play, but I know what my community wants to see. So I try to do a little bit of both. And Overwatch was a really good example of this when I first started playing on stream, because like I was known for playing scary games, horror games, all this kind of stuff. And so I really loved Overwatch, and I play off the stream all the time. And I was like, you know, I want to stream this, so I really want to stream this. And so what I did was that I started inviting people who were watching my stream to come play with me. And so it started to have people want to interact more and be like, oh, well, he's playing with like people, like, oh, I'll play with him. Like, I'll keep watching. Like, let's do that. And Overwatch turned into like a weekly thing that we would do like every week. And it was so different from all the other games I play that it really helped me to be able to kind of break out of the same like, oh, Brandon plays horror games. Oh, Brandon plays Resident Evil. It actually helped me turn into a variety streamer, so to speak. So now I can play games like Night Trap and no one really questions it, because they're like, well, Brandon plays variety. He plays all over the place. So it's been, yeah, a great journey, I would say.
Okay. Yeah. I think this is, this particular one is very interesting, because, you are now with, Reverb, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, I'm sure you're going to do great work there. So let's do a little role play here.
All right.
Because I'm sure you're going to get the, hey, I'm a streamer, you should give me a key. Let's talk about that. Let's hit right?
Yes.
And then if you guys have any questions, you know, quick hits, because we have 10 more minutes with Brandon.
We can go over that a little bit. That's fine.
You sure? I got more room? Yeah. I got a little wiggle room?
Well, let's say 8:30 is like, we got to stop.
Okay. So, we'll roll with it. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm a streamer. Mm-hmm. I'm a small streamer, but mm-hmm. I know you get that, right? Mm-hmm. I know you get that role play thing.
Yeah.
You should give me a key because I'm streaming now, Brandon.
Ooh.
How does that work?
That was my first reaction. Was that? Well, I'm glad that no one's actually said this to my face, because I probably would react just like that. But I have gotten those emails in the past. Like, luckily, I haven't. Luckily, I will say, real quick, is that, like, since I started at Reverb, people have reached out to me, for keys and stuff, and I think they know how I am, so they don't email that to me, so that is a good sign. But I have done this position at a different, for a different company before, and I did get those kinds of things. So the first thing I would say, is that, obviously, influencer managers and community managers are different, so everybody's not the same, we're all different. But me personally, if someone were to say that to me, I don't know if I actually would respond, to be honest. Let me think. Would I respond? No, I have responded when people have done that. And, I usually will tell people, cause my thing is like, I'll go check out the person's channel first, just to kind of see if they're actually trying, maybe they just don't know. And so I just try to do like questions and ask like, okay, so, you know, like, what's your schedule like? What's your, you know, what kind of genre of games do you do? Like, why should I give you a key to help them kind of explain, you know, what they are? But yeah, I have gotten those requests where it's just like, okay, I'm a small streamer, give me a key. And it's just like, and I've always been very passionate about this. So sorry, we're like getting into this. So my main thing is that like, yes, like, there are small streamers out there, but when you start like kind of having the mindset of like, I'm a small streamer, it really hurts your chances of like people seeing you outside of that. Like, yes, like people are not like having 50 viewers in their chat all the time, but if you have a channel name, your channel name is not I'm a small streamer. Like, what is your name? Tell me about you. You play variety, you play Rocket League, you play Overwatch. Okay, cool. What else? Like, do you have any, do you do stuff for charity? Yeah, I do some stuff for charity. Like, I want to hear about that. What are some good ways that you could showcase your, the game that we're, if I give you a game, how can you showcase that? Yeah, if you're going to show it over a few days, that would be cool. Do you know your metrics? That's a really important thing. Like, do you know how many followers that you're getting, every stream? Do you know what your viewer count is like? Do you know what, things are changing? Do you know what, kind of things, are increasing your viewership? Like, so are you playing a certain game?
So right there, what tools would you ask them to, have in their quote unquote arsenal, for lack of a better arsenal? Term right now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So check those things.
Yeah, yeah. So if people don't know, there's a lot of cool stats out there. Arsenal.gg is one. I used to work for that company, previously, but Arsenal is, really good, and it's free, for anybody, to go. Arsenal starts tracking your stats if you have 10 viewers or more. So that's the one stipulation. So you have to have at least 10 viewers or more, and it'll start like tracking and stuff. That's just like what their thing is. But like it tells you about like, the best time to stream, like the best time for you to stream. I think the hours, like you could see if you're playing like a few different kinds of games, when people drop off and when people start coming in, you can kind of see like if there's a pattern there. You could actually look into the games that you're actually streaming and seeing what the, kind of the climate is around that, and seeing like where that is, if you should be streaming it. And then it gives you like a really cool breakdown of just like everything that you need. And then, the cool part about it is that you can, download like a, Excel file, and you can send that to people. Like say you're trying to reach out for sponsorships, you can send them like a screenshot, or you can send them like an Excel file that shows like the really in-depth, like, stats that you want to show off to brands and stuff, so they look into it. But yeah, I would tell people definitely look into your stats and know what you're talking about. And I have always asked that the person spells the name of the game right, making sure they're reaching the right people. There's been several times that I've like I've had a game that was similar to another game, and people were messaging me about the competitive game. And it's like, I don't work on that game, so you probably should check into that kind of stuff. So it's interesting, I will say. But like, just a real professional letter, and just like being confident in what you're trying to.
What does that look like though? Cause I'm really trying to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess with this conversation, hopefully help somebody who says, well, I've never really written a letter to an influencer, manager to, you know, request something, and I don't know how to go about that. What does that look like?
Yeah. My first tip would be, definitely knowing your stats, because that's the first thing they're going to, I mean, they can look themselves, but I always like if you yourself know, I know that you're taking yourself seriously. If you already know where your stats are, like, you know, your followers and all that kind of stuff. That's one thing. The second thing I would say is just like, being very, open about what your stream is about. Like, I always say, describe to, like, a influencer manager what your stream is about, as if you're trying to get them to follow your channel. Cause it tells them a little bit about yourself and what you do. Like, if you're a variety streamer, what kind of games you play, or if you're into horror games, like, what kind of, like, is there a specific game? Cause it kind of, helps them figure out if, a certain game works for them, especially if they do multiple games like I do. And then also I would say just like accomplishments. If you have some, like if you do charity work, that's always a big thing. Cause I do remember when people reach out to me and they let me know that they do charity streams. And if I do have some, like I try to like extend keys for giveaways for them for their stream and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's just the demand of thing. Hey, I'm a small streamer. Give me a key. I just turn it around and say, I don't have to. Explain to me why. You know what I mean? Like, go get to why.
So with the email, how long is too long for the email? How many sentences before you check out? Because I'm sure you're getting dozens of emails, right?
Yeah.
So is it three lines, three sentences? Is it one paragraph that encapsulates the whole thing?
For me, honestly, I think it's a good, really good paragraph. And then having references, having links to your channel, links to any YouTube stuff that you got, and just everything, just a reference link to click on. What I do is I go and reference and make sure everything's correct, because, you know, there are people who use other people's emails to try to get keys for free. And there's a lot of key theft out there. Wow. I learned about that in my last job, but, just verifying that the person is who they say they are and all that kind of stuff. But I think a good paragraph is good enough for, to like send off email, but that's me personally. Like I kind of think about like the influencer management world, and other people who are involved in it as like kind of school, because like every teacher is different. Like you could write a paragraph and one teacher might be cool with it. Another one would be like, oh, I want you to write 3 pages on why I should give you this key. No one is like that, hopefully, but, you know, everybody's different. But for me, I think a really cohesive paragraph with links, I think that's doable. You know, you don't have to go into your life story about how you want to get a free game key. So hopefully not. Hopefully you're not doing that.
Okay. Yeah. And your expertise, if someone is just using one distribution platform, right? They're only on Mixer. They're only on Twitch. They're not necessarily branching off to use other distribution platforms like podcasting and putting it on iHeartRadio or, you know, Apple Podcasts. And do you look at one platform a certain way? Do you encourage individuals to have a library of all those distribution platforms? How do you look at that?
Oh, that's such a good question. That's a great question. So I think it always depends on the person's content. I think that some content creators are missing out on spreading their content out on different platforms who, like, for example, like, you know, podcasting. If people are doing podcasting like live on the stream, they're just leaving that podcast on that stream. It's like, no, why aren't you taking the audio and putting it on like one of those podcast stations? Like I used to do that, like to just branch out. If you want to put it on YouTube, you can do the same thing and try to build off on that. I mean, obviously Twitch is like the main platform that people are going to look at, but I have always been very supportive of like the other platforms out there. So that's why I've always been really open to like, you know, the Mixer streamers and their staff. I haven't really worked that much with like the YouTube gaming staff and the Facebook staff, but like before I started with Reverb, that was my goal, was that I want to know more of these streamers over there. Like obviously they're over there doing something. Let's try to see if we can work together on some stuff. And it's just about trying to open up that conversation. But you know, it's so far I've been able to reach some staff and some Facebook gaming people and some YouTube folks. But I personally, I don't think it's a bad thing if you're on one platform, but if you're doing different content that could be on something else, like a podcast, please, please use the audio, put it like on a podcasting station or somewhere. I've learned so well over the last few years that like when you do that, it really helps you out and you will reach a whole different audience that you never thought you would. Like just quickly, for example, I do a podcast with, my friend Pumpkinberry on the show called Roswell, from the 90s. It was an idea that we both came up with and we started it, a year ago. And we have like a viewer base of people who listen to our podcast all the time. And it's so weird because I never would have thought that because we don't stream it. But it's like a different audience that would never be into my video game streaming, but they would like listen to us talk about this show that they like. So it's, you know, branching out is, I think it's important, but it depends on what kind of content you're trying to put out there.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Dungeons and Dragons.
Ah, yes.
So, we couldn't leave without talking about that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So talk to me about that and the wonderful team that you have over there. And then we'll begin to do final thoughts and wrap.
Oh, cool. So Dungeons and Dragons, it has been such a ride. I started playing Dungeons and Dragons literally now 2 years ago for the very first time. It was something I kind of always was into, but I didn't have a group of friends who were into it. And then my friend, Tony DePass, reached out to me and was, asked me like, hey, Brandon, there's this opportunity, with, you know, you joined a group of people playing D&D, on the D&D channel. Would you want to do it? And I was like, I mean, I'm into fantasy. I'm into like role play stuff. Like, why not? Let's see where this goes. I had no idea about it. And so, we kind of gathered the group together and like, you know, did our little first sessions. And I started to realize, okay, this is kind of cool. It was a D&D group of people of color. And it wasn't like meant to be like, oh, let's make a TV show, put a bunch of people of color on it. It was just like, that's who we gathered together. And so we went into our first session. The very first session that we did was a live show, in LA for D&D Live, 2 years ago. And I remember I was so nervous and I was like, I'm about to play D&D in front of all these people. I don't know what's going on. I'm dressed in this elf costume. I don't know what I'm going to do. But luckily I kind of broke out of my shell and kind of, realized how fun it is, and realizing that like people who are watching you play D&D aren't like judging you. They're there for you to kind of express yourself and tell a story, which is so different from streaming, like, you know, a video game stream. And it took me a little bit to kind of, feel more comfortable doing that. But at this point, we've gotten to a really awesome place where, you know, we all know each other really well. And it's like, it's been like a family. And unfortunately, like, we lost a few people on the way who've moved on to do other and great things. But we still have that family where we still talk to each other and all that kind of stuff. And it's really crazy to see. And I was sorry, if you don't know, the show that I'm on is called Rivals of Waterdeep. And we're currently on season six. So, it's really cool.
I didn't even realize it was that long. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's been really cool to see the, reaction to it, because I've seen so many people who have responded to us and being like, you know, I have not seen a black person playing D&D like ever. And this has motivated me to do it. Like, if I would have saw this when I was younger, I would have got into it. Like, I was the same way. That's why I never saw.
I've never seen it until you guys, really.
Yeah. And it's been pretty cool. Like, last week we were in a Nerdist article, for six top DD shows, that people should be watching. Like, we're in the realm of like Critical Role and like, you know, all these big names, and we're in there too. And, I remember after we did our first live show, I said to myself, wow, I'm doing something that is bigger than me at this point. Like, we are doing this show to show, like, you know, people of color have a seat at the table amongst all these players. Like, we can sit here too. Like, it shouldn't feel awkward, or you shouldn't feel like, oh, that's nerdy, let me not do it. Like, you should feel comfortable. And to see so many people, respond so well to the show and liking the characters and our relationships and all that, it's been really, really, really cool. And the other part about it that I really love is that I'm exploring, you know, really cool emotions that I never thought I would do in front of people, and taking real life situations that I've dealt with and using that as like fuel to, showcase my character in really emotional scenes that I just never thought I would get to that place. But, yeah, it's been a really awesome ride, and we're still going. And our finale is on Sunday. I forgot. but yeah, it's been a really cool, opportunity, and the D&D community has been very welcoming to me. Especially like as a new player, it's been really cool to interact with the community and just the staff at Wizards of the Coast have been so awesome. Like, I was so worried that like, me being a new person and not really understanding all the stuff, that they're going to be like, well, Brandon, you should be doing this. No, everybody's been so super supportive. Even on the non-D&D stuff, they've been awesome. So, I mean, it's like a little community of nerds I appreciate.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. So before I do final thoughts, if you guys have any questions in chat, please prep them, because this is probably going to be my final scenario for Brandon, who's been amazing.
Amazing. Thank you.
thank you for being here. So, you're about to go to the store, right?
Yeah.
And as you make your way to the door, you open the door and you see your younger self. And your younger self says, hey, I need advice. Can you help me? What would you tell your younger self?
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a good one. That's a good one. I would tell my younger self to, always continue to be yourself despite people telling you that you aren't how society says you are or you should be, and to not follow in people's footsteps and continue, or because I wasn't like that before. I tell myself to be a leader and not a follower because you're afraid of being that leader. And then I also say, you know, right now you're not believing that, you know, dreams come true. But it's not a thing that's just said to you. Just believe your dreams and work hard and your dreams will come true. And that's what happened.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So, Brandon, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. We're definitely going to end before time, which is always great. Okay. So where can people find you and, approach you, whether it's Reverb or you personally, mm-hmm. or, your Twitch channel and Twitter and all that stuff. Where would you send them?
Okay. So if you want to find me on Twitter, you can find me at, Twitter. Oh, wait. You can find me at I Am Brandon TV. If you want to find me on Twitch, I Am Brandon on there. If you want to reach out to me about anything, Reverb related, you can contact me at bstennis@reverbinc.com. Or you can see that on the Reverb Twitter. Like, my stuff is on there too. And I do have open DMs. So if people want to get my information, I mean, my information's on my bio on Twitter. So if you had to find that way, it's there too. I think that's it though. I don't think I have anything like other than that, because most of my information is like on my Twitter bio right there in case people want to contact me.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome, guys. Thanks for watching. I'm actually going to switch the scene. And you guys have been, supportive. So thank you for joining us in this conversation. We're going to change the scene back to, Brandon's dope thumbnail here. And, you guys have a great one. Take care. So the, so audio is still live. We're still live on. How did that feel for you? We're still live on YouTube.
That was good. We went into some questions I had talked about a long time. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So I just want to say thank you for, taking the time to, come hang out with me. And, I'm looking forward to, even reaching out to you for, you know, future things and things
like
that.
Please do.
And, as the audio is still live, even on YouTube right now, just to let you know that, it's refreshing to know that you are really taking the time to help people out.
Thank you. I have been very trying to give back what I wanted when I was trying to do stuff. You know what I mean? Cause like when I was trying to get my name out there, you know, people weren't trying to be very helpful. So I just tried to give back, you know, cause I feel like, If I give out good energy, it'll just come back my way full fold somehow, you know, and it has happened in my life. So I feel like, you know, why not share it? There's room for everybody, you know. I want to hog the spot. I don't want to be the only person doing stuff.
That's dope. I really appreciate that. So I'm going to cut the stream, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. And until next time. This episode is brought to you by Bluehost. Bluehost is a proven powerhouse in the website hosting industry. They offer exceptional customer service. They allow you to host multiple domains under one account, which is super convenient. Check out theshowradio.info/Bluehost to get started for as low as $3.95 a month exclusively to you. This episode is also brought to you by Audible. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers to celebrity memoirs, news, business, and self-development. Head over to theshowradio.info/audiobook to get your first audiobook free with a 30-day trial. This episode is also brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a VPN service that secures your internet connection against eavesdropping, masks your location, and allows you to access your favorite sites no matter where you live or travel to. To get 20% off of the lifetime of your account, you can use the promo code SHORAM. That's caps. If it doesn't work caps, definitely try lowercase, SHORAM. So takeaways for episode 539 with I Am Brandon. Definitely watch what you do online. And I think there's a theme with a lot of the conversations that I have with individuals who are doing things in the industry or near the industry or in the proximity of the industry. They always say, hey, watch what you say. Watch, you know, how you're behaving online. If you don't care, then you don't care. Just do whatever you want. But if you're trying to get attention for certain companies and brands to work with you, if that's part of your goal and objective for things that you're doing online, whether that's streaming stuff, podcasting stuff, or anything else that you're trying to do, make sure you really pick your battles online. You know, that's really all I have there. So episode 539 with I Am Brandon was really, really great. Brandon, thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate that. And until next time, take care.